Father, this morning we just come to you, Lord, once again, Father. Thank you, Lord. 30 days, Lord. We just thank you, Father, every day, Lord. It's a battle, yet victory is in you. Triumphant God, who takes his people, Lord, in victory, in Christ Jesus. You deserve all the glory, the honor, the power, the praise, oh Father. We thank you, we just thank you, we just thank you, Lord, we just thank you. We come at this time of the word and prayer into thy hands. Anoint us, Father. For no one is equal to this task, Father, unless your spirit anoints, Father. We are unable, Lord. Anoint us, everyone, everywhere who's listening, Lord, wherever they are. We continue to declare your might, your power. We continue to declare this is the day that the Lord has given. We choose to rejoice in it, Lord. Speak to us, Lord. Prepare us for the end, Lord. Because, O Lord, you said the day should not come upon us like the thief in the night. For we are children of light. Speak to us. But in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 We are in Revelation 16. The final phase of human history. The last 7 years of human civilization. The mess we made. God said, you think you can do things without me? Try it. And we cover it up with all our construction, but underneath are the cockroaches. Right, Lemmy? Lemmy is very philosophical. She says, I agree with all that. So there we are, and we say, hear the loud voice from the temple God, or Jesus speaking, go out and pour out bowls of the wrath of God on the earth. The first went down and poured his bowl on the earth, and a foul and a loathsome sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his bowl on the sea. It became blood as of a dead man, means it congealed, okay? So it's not waters in which you can move, it is congealed. And every living creature in the sea died. Unlike the previous one where one third, it is all of them died. Can you imagine the stink? Can you imagine the number of creatures in the sea is more than on the earth? Can you imagine every fish, everything dies. Everything dies. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and the springs of water, and they became blood. Okay, the two, the among the priority 1, 2, 3, the one we need most is air, then water, then food. Without air, I don't know how many minutes we can survive. Depends. Okay, average, I think a couple of minutes, 2 or 3 or 5 minutes, and then we are gone. Without water, over 24 hours to 48 to 72 to whatever, and then we die. Food up to 7, 21, 40. Okay. And this is when people will be gasping to breathe. Because oxygen supply, 80% comes from the sea, the water. So that's gone. And then no water to drink. Okay. Even fresh water is gone. Desalinizing plants all will stop. Like in the Middle East, they have all the seawater being purified. Everything is gone. So that's why God says, if those days were not shortened, okay, those days were not shortened, flesh would not survive. So that's why he kept it for the very, very, okay, poor. Let me know, this is not about you. Don't look so scared, okay, baby. It's scary, I know, but okay, don't look so scared, okay. It's quite scary. We won't be there, okay, don't worry. If those days were not shortened, no flesh would survive. Everybody would die. Okay, everybody would die. So, but God shortens it. And the response, okay, the response. The reason why is this all happening is because this is when, what we say in English, when God's patience runs out. Okay, in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. No? The patience and the long suffering. God is not slack concerning his promise, has some count slackness, because scoffers will increase. But at this point, no, they will be hardened, but there will be no scoffers anymore. Okay, because he's long suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So God knows the time, after which you will see nobody repents. They blaspheme, they shout, they scream, everything, but nobody repents. So that's why. So there's no point behind being patient, because when God does anything, there's a purpose behind this. Why does he give us time to change? And when one person does not change anymore, then there's no more point in giving them time. Okay, giving them time. So that's what is happening over. God's patience is over. He pours out his wrath, and you will hear consistently that they did not repent. Now, when God does this, look at the reaction of the angels. I heard the angel of the waters say, "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is and one who was and one is to be, because you have judged these things. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. For this is their just due." Okay. You need to look at the angels. The angel, Jesus taught us to pray, remember, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Okay. And the angels will show us how immediately and with great zeal they execute the will of the king in heaven, or when they are told to do on earth. There's no hesitation, there's no squeamishness, ooh, yeah, nothing. Blood, blood. Okay? Because it is the just vindication of God. And the angel glorifies God in what he does. He says, "You are righteous and you are just." You are righteous. Okay, you are righteous and you are just. This is vindicating God's. In theology, they have a term called theodicy, I think. Theodicy is the vindication of God's righteous judgments, that you are righteous in your judgment. And he will give you. And the two reasons are given. One first reason is that everything God does is righteous, because that is who he is. Okay, that's a standard. And God is the standard. So God cannot do anything unjust. Anything unjust, because he is just. That is who he is. He is perfectly just. So everything he does is righteous. That's the first reason. "You are righteous, O Lord, the one who is, who was, and who is to be, because you have judged these things." You are always righteous. Who is righteous, who was righteous, who is to be righteous. So everything of God is just. Okay, that is the standard. That's what he does actually make us. We were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, so everything we did was unrighteous. That was our nature. So there's no point in putting makeup. We are not going to change. So God says, "I have to make you a new creation." So salvation is the birth of a new person. Now that person has been made in the image of God, who is just. So now God says you have to learn that everything that new person does is righteous. The old person does is unrighteous. So the only way you can actually live is kill the old person and train, allow the old new person to do. That's why the Bible says one who is born of God does not sin. Because that person is righteous. So whatever stage you entered into heaven, that person is perfect. Will be a perfect baby, a perfect 5-year-old, a perfect 10-year-old, a perfect 100-year-old. Spiritual growth. There will be all perfect, because there is no imperfection in the new man. So that's what the God is, Bible is talking about. God is righteous. Everything he does is righteous, because that's who he is. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4, Moses will say that. He's the rock, his work is. Why is his work perfect? Because all his ways are justice. The work of God is perfect. There's nothing which God does which is imperfect. In creation, in redemption, in judgment, in restoration, everything God does is perfect. He cannot do anything that is imperfect, because that's not part of his nature. Okay, so that's what he's saying. God of truth, without injustice, righteous and upright he is. Remember in Genesis 18 and verse 25, this is the argument which Abraham uses with God. "Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" Okay, he says, you cannot do wrong. So if there are righteous people in the city of Sodom, will you kill them along with the other? God says, no, I will not do that. I will not do that. There are 50, I will save the city. 40, 45, 30, 10, and God walks out. I say 10, that's my number. Okay, there are 10 righteous people in the city, I will spare the city. So you need to understand, okay? So when we are not bargaining with God, but when we converse with God, you can converse on God based on His mercy, or you can converse God on based on His justice. Depending, okay? That's how Hezekiah gets 15 extra years. He said, you are righteous, right? You're a righteous God. You say, come, get ready to die. But let me ask you, what's the reason why should I die? Haven't I walked before you this way? Haven't I done this? God says, okay, I'll add 15 years. Okay, so these are like points you bring in your prayer life, in your supplications before God. You can base, if you know you are absolutely at the wrong, you appeal to God's mercy. But if you see you are not at wrong, you appeal to God's justice. Okay, that's what the end of book of Job is about. He's asking, what did I do wrong? Because all these people are telling me that you have sinned, so ask God for mercy, ask God and accept your blame. And he's checking his entire life and he cannot find anything that he has done wrong. Though, so there is a series of arguments he's making. Did I go wrong? Did I go wrong? Did I go wrong? And he hasn't. He hasn't. Okay. But the only thing is that when God comes and speaks, he says everything he spoke is right. But the fact is that he did not understand the appointed end, that out of this, God was going to vindicate both Job and himself. So God doubles everything at the end. So we have to be very careful that when unrighteous things happen in our life, that does not make God unrighteous. He's still righteous. He's still righteous. That if you go through trouble for his name's sake, he will give you back double for that trouble. That is why when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, God says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Why? Because when you are being persecuted for righteousness' sake, it does not make God unrighteous. He's still righteous. So for all that you went through, you know what? God said, I will compensate. That's what happens in the law system also. Somebody is locked up for 15 years, then 15 years later, new evidence comes up and they find the man is innocent. He's not only released, he's given a compensation by the government. For all those, they cannot compensate for the time and everything lost, but within the law, permissible, they'll give him 10 million, 50 million, whatever they will give him, saying this is compensation. Because that's what God is saying. When you are suffering injustice for righteousness' sake, be exceedingly glad, he says. You don't have to worry. He says, this is a God who's righteous. His compensation will blow your mind off. He says, blow your mind off. That's what he's talking about. This is the first argument he's making. The justice of God, the God of all earth, will do right. Second reasoning. Okay. Both angels and men have been given the power to reason. That's why angels are also called sons of God. We are also called the sons of God. So we have the power to reason. So there they're saying, for they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and as you have given them blood to drink, for this is their just due. This is the principle of the law, that the punishment should be in proportion to the crime. It should not exceed the crime. Meaning, that's the principle of the law. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. So here, blood for blood. Blood for blood. That's what God is talking about, okay? When punishment, Jesus himself talks about, look at Matthew 23, verse 35. Okay, 23, 35. That on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Now he says, see, if you look at any community in the world, the harshest weight of God's judgment has come upon the Jews more than anybody else, simply because they have been given much compared to even Christians, because they have a history with God of almost 5,000 years from the time of Abraham. They have been given. And they have been given promises in the old covenant. Nobody else was given. And they thumbed their nose against God and they were scattered. So, and they have killed all the servants of God he sent them in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The last one was Stephen. They killed him. Okay, so God is saying the blood. So that is why you always have this in the Smyrna and Philadelphia, the synagogue of Satan. And these are the Jews. Okay, and even today you need to realize, along with the others, some of the most reprobate people are Jews. They are Jews. Not that they are Jews as practicing Jews, they are reprobate Jews who have left Judaism, gone into the demonic, into the occult, and they're the good ones and the bad ones in every, you know, group. But remember, that's what he's talking about, blood for blood. Okay? And the reason is they don't repent. They don't repent. So what did God also, if you look at us, okay, if you look at us, what did God give us? God gave us the blood of his son. Because that's why he gave us the blood. Because blood symbolizes life. God has given us the blood of his son to make atonement and for daily cleanse. And that is a symbol in our church all around the world. On churches we call it communion, the Lord's Supper. And he said, this is the symbol of my son's blood. Okay, the blood which was shed for the remission of all men's sin. In Hebrews 10 and verse 29, this is what the Bible says, 29 to 31. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled the Son of God underfoot, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The two sides of the blood. Why was Jesus' blood shed? So that we would be sanctified. And the Spirit of grace would save us. But you have rejected. So whenever somebody rejects the call of God to repent, you need to understand he's rejecting two things. He's rejecting the blood of Jesus that was shed to sanctify him. And he's rejecting the Spirit of grace who is saying, come. And God says, when the final judgment is poured, he says, you will drink blood. Because you shed blood. You shed blood, and ultimate of all the blood that was shed of the prophets till Zachariah, the blood they shed was the blood of his own son. The blood that was crying out for forgiveness, they shed it and they trampled upon it. That's what God is talking about. So please understand, in Proverbs 26 and verse 27, this is what the Bible says. Who digs a pit will fall into it. He who rolls a stone will have it rolled back onto it. Meaning, he says, this is the justice of God. Whatever measure by which you have given, same measure will be given to you. Okay? The most beautiful example in the Bible is the book of Esther. Esther 5:40 and then 6, 9 and 10. Okay? 5:14 and then 6, 9 and 10. His wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, let a gallows be made 50 cubits high in the morning. Suggest to the king that Mordecai be hanged on it. Then go merrily with the king to the banquet. The thing pleased Haman, so he had the gallows made. Then, nine and ten, the next verses. Seven, nine, and ten. Harbona, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, look, the gallows 50 cubits high which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing on the house of the Haman. The king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. Okay. So we know Babylon has drunk from that cup full of the blood of the saints, because this system is built on blood, literally blood. It is built on blood. That is why they call it blood money. Okay, they call it blood money. And it is blood. Okay, I know, can't talk about specifics, but even in the country where I was, whenever they started big projects, children disappeared. They sacrificed and put the bones, and over that they laid foundations. Okay, you need to realize systems are built on blood, blood sacrifices. Remember, that was the history before Israel of that land, and that's why, and even now the system continues. Because the enemy, there are two sources of power. One, it is God, who says the simple thing, repent, believe, come, I will give you my power, be like me. Then there is the devil. Devil says, give me blood. Give me blood, and I will give you power. One side, God sheds his blood to save us. The other side, the enemy says, shed blood and I will give you power. And people go into it. People go into it. A lot of people go into it. They become so hardened. And also remember, in all these demonic rituals everywhere, in witchcraft everywhere, they drink blood. Drinking blood is part of sorcery. Okay, they drink blood. It's part of sorcery. Okay, so you need to realize, and so many of these children who disappear is because they want young blood, because they believe there is life in it, so that they will be whatever wickedness they have in their minds. So you need to realize these people who are doing these things and all, it will become more and more and more evil, think they are getting away with it. Nobody gets away. The justice of God, mills of God grind slowly, but it is fine. Nothing will escape. That's why God tells us, repent. Confess, the blood will work for you. If you don't, the blood will work against you. And that's what we are talking about here. Other than the perfect justice. That's why God says, leave it. Leave vengeance to me. Vengeance to me. Okay. You cry for mercy, pray for justice, for righteousness and all. But when you see all these wicked people, he said, leave vengeance to me. My vengeance is perfect. Now when we come to verse 7 of Revelation 16, verse 7. Then I heard another from the altar saying, even so the Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are you. Now in Revelation 6, 10 and 11. These are the people. Okay. Revelation 6, 10 and 11. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on 6666, not 16. You're going to 16. Yeah. They cried with a loud voice. These are the souls of those under the altar. How long, Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? A white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. And now they are the ones in verse 7. First was the angel saying, just and right are you this thing. And in verse 7, what you hear is the souls of the dead, of who are martyred for their faith. They are the ones who are saying from the altar, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. Okay, so we need to have pity, we need to have compassion, but it always has to be tempered with judgment. Okay, judgment has to be tempered with mercy, and mercy has to be tempered with righteousness. Okay, otherwise it is fake. It is fake, because all around the world what you see is fake compassion, not real compassion. Okay, fake compassion, it's not real compassion. Okay, meaning like you see, in the fake compassion you see is in America, because it is up, put there, the city on the hill, no? So now we are seeing the city, the policies. Like when you encourage illegal immigration, you begin your life in a new country by breaking the law. Think about your child goes to school, and the first day you hear that the child stole the pencil and eraser and brought it home. That's how he's begun his academic life. That's it. Okay. So you don't start that way. You don't start that way. Yeah, I can understand, not because what you're seeing is deliberate economic migration. That is not allowed. Under your escaping persecution, you're running for this thing, that's fine. Okay, like, you know, if somebody enters through your back door, he's a thief, you will stop him. But somebody rushes in because he's being chased to be killed, you will get him in and shut the door. Those are two different applications. So America's, that kind of migration where people were fleeing for their life, was always allowed, and you took a sanctuary and you allowed it. But that's not what's happening all day. So you need to understand, and everywhere you have to look at the difference. Okay, so please understand, everywhere you see righteousness, unrighteousness, true mercy, false mercy, and all that, you need to understand, because if you show mercy, false mercy, then what happens is people don't change. They get set in their wicked ways. They set in their wicked ways. Okay, so that's why we need to understand all this, because we have to understand the true, how true and righteous are the judgments of God. In verse 8 and 9, okay, this is now the fourth. Then I heard the fourth angel pour out his bowl on the sun, and the power was given to him to scorch men with fire. And the men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has power over these plagues, and they did not repent and give him glory. Okay, now this is not global warming. Okay, this is not. Okay, global warming is, if it is true, it's a kind of a minor natural phenomena which is always balanced out. This is an act of God. And if we understand our solar system, you know how precisely everything has been placed by God. And we need the sun to live. Without the sun, we would die. But if the sun were to move a little, we are gone. We are gone. Okay? But God is saying the sun is in God's hands, created on the fourth day to give us both light and heat, because which we need for healing, and precisely placed there by God. A little adjustment, there's somebody, a scientist who has worked out, like, you know, from the book of Revelation, he says if the sun's heat is to be increased by only this much, the entire Arctic and Antarctica will melt, and the rising of the water level is 200 feet. All the global cities and the coastlines, all will be gone. It will be gone. So we are not only, we are talking about catastrophes that are talking about. Okay. While these people are talking about global warming is to 5 to 6 feet, he's talking about 200 feet when everything will melt. And the water levels all increases, rises up. Okay. So you need to realize what we are talking about. Okay. So God has the power. That's the Bible says, God who has power over these plagues. So if somebody has power over something, you should be begging him for mercy. Mercy. Okay. This is what. See, this is the issue with, we need to ask this question. Why do their hearts, what causes people's hearts to harden? It is pride. It's pride. That's why we are constantly warned against pride and asked to be humble. The reason is, the more humble you are, it's easier to repent, easier to change. The more proud you are, it becomes more and more difficult to change. Okay. When God says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle for a rich man, the question is, what stops a rich man from entering into heaven? Because riches brings pride. If you can be rich without pride, then you're good. Abraham was rich, but he was not proud. Isaac was richer than his father. He was not proud. Jacob was rich. He was not proud. Joseph was rich. He was not proud. So these people were, Moses was rich and he was proud at 40. So God had to put him in the wilderness 40 years to humble him, strip him of everything, the wealth, the name, the reputation, everything, until he is nothing. God says, now I can use you. Okay, so we need to understand how God works. So why does hardening take place? It is because of pride. That is what made Lucifer proud, because he was perfect in beauty, perfect in wisdom, perfect, and he wanted to ascend his throne above everything. And the same thing. So that is where you have to realize. That's why the Bible says, I mean, it's not just money alone. The Bible says knowledge puffs up. Knowledge can be very, very dangerous. Very, very, very dangerous. Okay. And that's probably what happened to Solomon, that he didn't humble himself before God. Okay. Humble himself before God, because knowledge got into his head and he struggled. Okay. So we have to be careful. Whatever you are rich in. Whatever you are rich in. And that is why Samson did not know the Holy Spirit had left him. Because he was not rich in money or in wisdom. He was rich in strength. Rich in strength. He took it for granted. There's nothing I can face which I can handle which I cannot handle with my muscles. And then one day he realized his muscles didn't work. Pride gets in. Whenever you are good in anything, really good in anything, take it and put it before God. Because that is what will get into your head. See, wherever you are terrible, like me, okay, 1992, 2024, that is 32 years I have been driving. And I'm still bad. So I will never be proud about my driving. Okay, you begin with mercy, you end in mercy every day. Okay, because you're not good at that. You're not good at that. Okay, so if you become good in anything, then humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Because what happens, it's a hardening that takes place. Hardening that takes place. And that's what they, why did they not repent? We need to ask ourselves. Now, we haven't seen anything of any of these. But when these things are happening, and they are human just like us, why is it that they did not repent? Is the question. The answer we need. What causes a man not to repent? Is the slowly pride getting in. Okay, so God, hardness of the human heart. Remember the hardness of the human heart. They did not repent. Over and over in the Bible it will say, they did not repent. And we would think this experience would drive men to their knees. Instead we see they repented not. They repented not. They repented not. But those who repent and those who don't repent. In Malachi chapter 1, chapter 4, verses 1 onward, this is what it says. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven. All the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord. Of course, that will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. So two things happen. Those who are proud, God says, they will burn like stubble. Those who are humble, he says, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with. Okay. Right now it's the other way. We see the proud and the wicked growing stronger and stronger, and the humble and the poor growing weaker and weaker. But there's a day of great reversal that is coming. Great, great reversal that is coming. And that's what God is talking about. So if you go back to Revelation 16, yes. And men, and they did not repent and give him glory. They did not give him glory. Okay, why is that we don't give glory? Let me honestly ask you, you know what? Why is that? Maybe we don't even know our church. Why is that people struggle to worship? No, it's got nothing to do with freedom. That's okay, that's one thing, they are not free. But one of the reasons people really struggle to give, because when you worship, when you praise God, worship God, give thanks to God, you're basically giving God glory. Somewhere deep inside, we think we were responsible for the success. Okay, look, somebody, okay, Monday to Friday goes from early morning to late night, slogs, works, gets his money, gets his incentives, everything, and then Sunday morning when he's asked to give thanks to God, praise him. But I am the one who worked. That is where reason comes in. God says, you know, tells Israel, remember when you become rich, I am the one who gave you the power. So we have to actually sit back. That's why once in a while it is good to fall ill and reach the ICU. Then you will realize that you are nothing. So you have to actually, reasoning, you see, God has given us reason, God has given us emotions, and then he has given will. Emotions is with which we actually worship God, we praise God, we worship God. But emotions gets more and more empowered when reason comes in. Reason comes in. So there you have to reason yourself. Simple reason, okay? Like when my mom was in the hospital, I remember how much we paid for the oxygen, which we breathe freely. The same oxygen which we breathe. Get into your hospital and you will see they'll make you pay through your nose each day for the oxygen. That's where we begin, right? When you begin in the morning, we begin by breathing. Breathing. Then we go there and maybe drink a glass of water. Here they have no water to drink. Okay, God freely gives water. So you see people going through it. Yesterday's BBC is one of the clips over there was the wettest place in India, up there in Arunachal, Chirapunchi, where people are walking miles to get drinking water. The contradiction of the wettest place and not drinking water. So think about it. You can think about it. God just wanted to say, okay, I'm bored. It's not going to rain for 2 years. Now why should I watch over? Because he's in control of everything. Our air, our water, our food, our strength, everything actually comes from God, not from our work. Our work actually means nothing. Nothing. Okay, nothing. Like they were talking about why people always play fast and loose with China and all, because of the things that America in the past century, 50 years, goofed up everything. Their industries all shifted. Now, if China wants to put a foot on America, it can, because America won't even have medicines, because all the medicines, products to make medicines comes from China. So basically thinking like that, you need to look at that. Everything that even for us to work on comes from God. Only when that reasoning comes it out and it really, you think on it, that's what the Bible says, think on things that are above. Think on things that are above. Starting with daily provision to the provision for eternity to salvation, everything is of God. Once this reasoning comes and we put our feelings behind it and act of will, we'll be able to worship, praise and worship. That's why the people don't give him glory. Okay, people don't give glory. And a lot of people will say, I was upset with God, I was angry with God. And I will think, okay, I can understand children getting angry with parents because they are children, they don't understand. Okay, but believers, talking about it, they have no sense, honestly have no sense. Because in somewhere or other, they think that God lives to serve them. And they didn't kill me. You have no clue what you're asking for. If God were to destroy you, this is where you will end for eternity in the lake of fire. What you're talking about? Do you even understand? Even this the people couldn't handle. Okay, so people don't know. They are not reasoning things out. It's all, you see, if you don't have reason, and if it's only feelings, then it will flip-flop. Like Kamala. Yesterday, no fracking. Today, fracking. Okay, yesterday build the wall, no build no wall, today I want to build the wall. It's flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. That's how people are, because they are not using their reason. And the whole, the half of America is built on feelings. They're a TikTok generation. That's why it's called TikTok, TikTok. They flip like this, okay. They're not using their reasoning, okay. If you don't use your reason, how do you worship God? Use your simple reason. That's what I said, first thing we thank God. Thank you, Lord, every day. We woke up. Why should we wake up? Why should we wake up? So many did not wake up. We woke up. Why should we wake up? What did I do that I should deserve another day in God's sight? Nothing. So you'll see they did not repent and give him glory. Okay? How do you know a person is repenting? Because he attributes more and more to the hand of God. Gives him more and more glory. Because God, because that's David. But God, but God, but God, but God, but God, but God, but God. Get these things, believers, because if you have a life of thanksgiving, like every day, even today, why am I oppressed? Why am I under demonic? And I said, are you doing the things which I'm telling you to do? No? Telling you to do. I said, do these things. One thing, have a life of consistent thanksgiving. Have a life of consistent praise, because you don't open doors. Because demons need an atmosphere where they are comfortable. So make the atmosphere uncomfortable for them. What is atmosphere? They hate the atmosphere of thanksgiving and praise and worship. They cannot stand that. They cannot stand that. So create that atmosphere in your life. You understand now. No, I don't. You don't have to put on your bank on your feelings. Do you reason this out? God enthrones himself in the praises of his people. And when you don't praise and you complain, the devil enthrones himself in your complaints. So learn to praise. Create an atmosphere. And that's what people are doing here. They are not able to give him glory and they are under tremendous demonic oppression. Now when you come to the next one. Okay. 10 and 11. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl. See, this is in very rapid succession, these things are going to happen because God will not allow this to last too long because people won't survive. Everybody will die. There are righteous still on earth. Even they will die. Everybody will die because this is too much. Okay. Poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. Okay. So you have now five plagues. Head to toe. Foul smelling loathsome sores. Okay. Water is all blood. Sun is so hot. On top of that darkness. Only God can do stuff like that. He can make the sun really hot and yet keep you in the darkness. Okay, keep you in darkness. Okay. And the darkness you are talking about, full of darkness, is described in the book of Exodus. Okay. 10:21-23. The nature of this darkness, mankind has never seen before that. We will see it if in the end. The Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, darkness which may be even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven and there was thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. This is the darkness. Meaning they couldn't even get up. The Malayalam translation is still wrong, but it's fantastic. It says, Khanibhavicha Andagara, meaning darkness which became substance, that you could feel the darkness. That was how thick it was that they could not be able to. Now this is actual physical, but also it is spiritual. Like you look at all these people and the wickedness they are doing, you need to realize they have been completely been blinded. They have been blinded. They have been blinded. Why? The Bible says it was so much pain they are in. Okay, they are in pain. Think about the pain of it, okay? You have sores, most painful sores and smelling sores, the heat, no water, and then you want to comfort yourself, you want to get a glass of water or a swab of cotton, but it's so thick you can't even move, you can't find anything. All natural forms of light which man has invented has failed. It's gone. There's no electricity. There's no electricity. There's no hydropower in the first place because there's no water. Everything has shut down. Absolutely shut down. Everything has absolutely shut down. That's what the Bible is talking about. Okay, and the Bible says, yes, they did not repent. Verse 11. They blasphemed the God of heaven. Okay, they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. Which is true, no? When people are sparsed because of thirst, they bite into their tongues and some of them actually choke and die by swallowing their tongue because they are not able to breathe and they are not, because the entire thing is past. Okay, that's why they say when somebody has been without water for many days, you find them, don't give them a bottle of water and all, they will die. Just little by little, that's why they will just wet your lips little by little by little. So you have to remember these things. We are looking at the most extreme judgment that God will allow. You want to have your way? Have your way. This is what will happen. And the Bible says they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores and did not repent of their deeds. Meaning what has happened? Time has passed. So God uses, in the Bible, God uses light and darkness as metaphors for good and evil, because in the beginning he had declared light is good. The kingdom of the enemy's kingdom is called the kingdom of darkness, and they are called powers of darkness. And it is a judgment lining up with their hearts. In John chapter 3 verse 19, this is what Jesus said. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. He says, you love the works of darkness, you celebrated the works of darkness, you welcome the prince of darkness, now live in darkness. Take a taste of it, what it is like. Okay, what it is like. And if you notice, in verse 10, it is poured out on the throne of the beast. Okay, we don't know exactly where it is, on the throne of the beast. Okay, where is the throne of the beast? They say it is Babylon. Babylon will be rebuilt. That is where the empire will be of the Antichrist. Okay, and remember, all these have been prophesied in the old covenant. If you go to Nahum chapter 1 verse 6, 7 is something else, but 7, 6, 8, 6, 7, 8. Who can stand before his indignation? Who can endure the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust him. But an overflowing flood he will make an utter end of its place, and darkness will pursue his enemies. So you have fire and darkness coming. Okay. Zephaniah 14 and 15. These are all small letters in the old covenant, prophetic letters where God 14 and 15. The great day of the Lord is near. It's near, hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Okay. And Jesus himself said this in Mark 13 and verse 24. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. Okay. When men reject God, please understand, it is not that he cannot be understood. It's because they have rejected him. Because of pride, the hardness of heart, and the love for evil. Okay. They did not repent is the refrain. This is the spirit that builds Babylon. And all who end up in Babylon is simply because they do not repent and receive the mercy of God. 2,000 years the gospel has gone out. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. Escape the wrath of God. On the other side, Jerusalem, that is from above, the true church is built by people who have the spirit of repentance within them, who will daily find something in them to judge and to forsake. Why? So they can give glory to God. You go to verse 9. Yeah, Revelation, yeah. They did not repent and give him glory. So one of the ways we give glory to God is by repentance. Every time we repent, we give God glory. Because in the very act of repentance, we are saying, I was wrong, you are right. And we are giving glory that you are a righteous God. You are a just God. You are right when you judge me. But you are glorious in your mercy. So in repentance, in repentance, we are glorifying God's righteousness. Second, in repentance, we receive mercy and we are glorifying God in his mercy. So when a man does not repent, he does not glorify God. On the other hand, when you repent, we bring God glory. All of angelic hosts says that, you know what? God is righteous. So even when God judges those who do not repent, he is glorified. He is glorified in his judgment. So please understand. And so if you want to glorify continuously, simple, repent. Goodness, we keep changing, here change, and we give glory. be glory. Because nobody reaches that in one day, but it's in a process that reaches. And by the time you reach that stage, like Job's introduction, he's a blameless man. God, he has brought God glory. So God even boasts to Satan, is there a guy like that? Because he has brought God glory by his lifestyle. He has become blameless. Okay. So like, if we don't repent, God will still get glory. How? In judgment. And the choice is ours. In verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates. And the water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. In chapter 9, you will see the spiritual and the physical. Please remember, that's why we pray. People will ask, why are you praying? We don't see any change. That's because you are seeing the physical. Yeah, go to chapter 9, 13 to 16. The sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month were released to kill a third of mankind. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200 million. I heard the number of them. Okay? So you need to realize there are spiritual things that are happening. And it will have a parallel effect on the physical realm. Nothing happens on the physical like it. The physical realm is the fake realm. The real realm is the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm controls the physical realm. So if you want to have control over your physical realm, you need to control your spiritual realm. That is why people either go into the demonic, but God has given us his spirit. Why do people go into the demonic? To control their physical realm. Physical realm. I was talking to a young man. It's a mess. Mess, meaning mess. Went into the demonic realm. Now I have to keep on sending him prayers to get him into normalcy. And then he's telling me when I was 18 years, 19 years old, my father took me into that demonic realm. Told him that he will become rich. Now he's a total mess. Did he become rich? Yes. Are you able to enjoy 1 minute of your day? No, you are in torment because of the demonic every day. So people go into the demonic to control their physical realm. If you have a sickness, doctor can't, you go to the demonic. You go to the tantric, you go to the demonic. You want to get rich, you want to study, you want to do everything, they go into the demonic. And then what happens? The demonic gives you a kind of comfort. You are able to control your physical without realizing the demonic is actually planning to take your soul into hellfire. Okay? So, while God says, you don't worry about all the physical things. You seek my kingdom first, put me first, seek my righteousness. I will take care of what you need in this life because this life is worth nothing. Eternity is coming. And that is what really matters. So we are caught between the material and the physical. So if something is happening in the physical, you need to realize something is happening in the spiritual. These demons are released. And what you see on the other side is Euphrates will dry up. But the demons are released for what? To bring the armies of the east to Jerusalem. Because you will have to understand, in spite of all this, why would people still go to fight a losing battle? Because they are deceived. They are deceived. There's nothing they can do about it. They have been taken over. Their minds have been taken over. God will allow these things to happen. Okay, and they are coming from the east. The waters were dried up, so the way of the kings, basically kings would mean like autocrats, dictators, so it has to be, because by then 1/3 or half the world population is dead. So which countries can give 200 million soldiers? Only countries in the east, like two countries, India and China together has 2 billion population. Even if you kill half of them, you still have 1 billion. Okay, you see, it's east. That is populated. Populated. Okay. It's not north. Densely populated is the east. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because so you need to realize it is from there. And what happens? Like the 10 plagues of over Egypt. Pharaoh finally released Israel, told Moses, bless me, and released them. Question is then, why would you go after them? Why would you go after them? And God says, I will put a hook and drag these people. By then, the kings of the north and the kings of south and all have battled and finished. If you look in the book of Ezekiel, the only left is the kings of the east. Battles are taking place. Okay, battles are taking place. So now the kings of the east also have been pulled into this and that is. And then if you look at the sixth bowl judgment happens in two parts. First is the drying of the river Euphrates. And second is the kings, the armies of the east will come to the valley of Megiddo or Armageddon. This is why we have this movie and all. People don't realize so many terms out there which Hollywood also uses is from the book of Revelation, the Armageddon. And if you know this river, Euphrates is one of the most prominent rivers in the Bible. You see it beginning in Genesis chapter 1 verse 14. Right there in Genesis from the Garden of Eden. 2:14. The river. The name of the third river is Hiddekel. This is the one that goes towards the east of Assyria. They say that is Tigris. The fourth river is Euphrates. So Euphrates' origin is there in Genesis chapter 2. Okay, and it's a very important river in biblical history. It's a very important river. Okay, in Genesis 15 and verse 18. This is the eastern border of the land promised to Abraham and his descendants. To your descendants I have given this land from the river of Egypt, that is Nile, to the great river, the river of Euphrates. That is the borders given by God. Nile to Euphrates. Okay, Euphrates. Reiterated 500 years later to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, 3 and 4. On the same day, okay, every place that the sole of your foot will tread, I have given to you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates. He says, I give it to you. It has never happened in their history, not even in Solomon, but it will happen one day in their history when the millennial kingdom comes in. Israel will be from Nile to Euphrates. Okay? The remnant Jews who come through the tribulation, who are alive, will populate all that place. Okay? So, the sixth bowl judgment will cause this river to dry up. Okay? And this 200 million army will come through this. And like I said, Euphrates is... The river, if you know history, except a few people like Alexander and all, if it was the last border of the Roman Empire, Euphrates actually became the border between the West and the East. It was the border. Euphrates was the border. Okay, and even the Roman Empire's final border was the Euphrates. It's only Alexander who crossed over in human history from the West, and he died after that. He didn't even come back. So there was a border between the East and the West. It was Euphrates. And those who crossed Euphrates were the ones who were called those who crossed the river. Okay, we're not talking about Jordan. We're talking about Euphrates. Because Abraham was on that side, he crossed and came over this side. They have crossed Euphrates. Okay, those who cross, that is a Hebrew. Who is a Hebrew? The one who crossed the river. He'll never go back. Because if you read from Genesis 4 onwards, everyone who went away from God went towards the east. So the more you come to the east, the more demonic the east becomes, the more the control of the devil you see in the eastern. So till today, in the east, you will see the worship of snake or satan or dragon. The worship of the serpent and the dragon publicly is taken. And they don't understand it in the Bible. The serpent and the dragon is the devil. And further east they go. So when people crossed the river Euphrates, came to this side, they were called Hebrews. So Abraham is a Hebrew. Isaac is a Hebrew. And Jacob is a Hebrew. And Joseph in Egypt is called a Hebrew. So river Euphrates is not a small river. It's a huge, huge symbolic. Okay, that was the final line between the Western civilization and the Eastern civilization. Okay, and you will see, till today, you will see how difficult it is to evangelize the East.
And the further east you go, further east you go, the furthest east you can go, far east is Japan. Try to evangelize there. With the highest literacy, advancement, second or third or fourth largest economy in the world, not even one person believers in their country rejects the gospel. Why? You need to ask. And the reason is, you are far east. Far east,
southeast, okay, so, but God is merciful, he will walk through it all those who are to be saved will be saved, our job is to evangelize, so we will stop there, and then next week we will look, so please remember the importance of the word, repent, we'll read Joel also, Joel chapter 3, 12 to 16. Okay, they're all being gathered to that place. It's Napoleon who was born in two pieces. Actually one piece, but his name says born apart. He's the one who saw that place and said, I would love to fight a battlefield here. That valley of Megiddo, Armageddon. And it will become the valley. Let the nations be awakened. Come to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat means God who judges, the valley of judgment. For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full. The vats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near the valley of decision. Do you know what 14 actually means in prophetic times? 200 million army in the valley, and I will destroy them all. Easterners, 200 million, I don't know how many from India are there, 200 million in that valley. The sun and moon will grow dark, the stars will diminish their brightness. The Lord will also roar from Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth will shake, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and the strength of the children of Israel. Remember, they're coming against the remnant of Israel. They're all gathering. Yes, we shall pray. So keep this, and we see the harbinger. We have nowhere close to that, okay? Because we are somewhere in the first of the four horsemen. The horsemen, that is the first. You have the horsemen, and then you have the seals. When the first seal is broken, the horsemen start going. It's only by the sixth seal, the wrath of God. So we are in there. That's why Jesus says, when these things happen, don't get upset. He says, it's only the labor pains. It's beginning. The system is still not in place. Okay, but to get ready, it will get into place. But before that, God may extend his mercy. One more harvest. You see signs of the revival taking place in so many places. God's move is also happening. So we don't know. Our job is to pray. Pray, pray. Fight the powers of darkness. Pray for God's people. The bride. Getting the bride ready. That's our job. Yeah. They realize there is something in the air.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit within me.
Father, we just come to you, Lord, once again. We just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. As we read more, learn more, Father, we are grateful that we are not appointed for wrath, Lord. Who can survive the day of your anger, Lord? For our God is a consuming fire, Lord. We just want to thank you once again for your Son. Thank you, Lord, on the cross your wrath was poured upon him that we would be spared. Thank you for the blood that was shed. Thank you, Lord, he rose victorious over death. Because the second death is worse than, Lord, the wrath. Oh, Jesus, we just want to thank you, Father, thank you, Lord. We just thank you, we just thank you, we just thank you, Lord. We continue to pray, Lord. Oh, Spirit of God, that you would move over the nations, oh Lord. Save the people from the wrath of God, oh Father, that is coming. The judgments of God that would be unleashed and nobody will be able to stop. Save people, Lord, before they reach their point where no one can repent. For their hearts have been so hardened that even in their pain, they blaspheme God and do not give him glory. Save us, Lord. Save, 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 Lord, save. Pour out your Spirit, Lord. Pour out your Spirit on nations, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. As your word says, to call upon him when he may be still be found. Jesus, touch, Lord, touch. That blindness, that blindfold be removed from eyes, O Lord. Man will be able to see, Father. Touch, touch, Lord, touch. Jesus. We just thank you, Father. Thank we just thank you by faith. We thank you. We bless your holy name. We bless your holy
name.
We lift the holy name of Jesus.
Jesus,
Jesus. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, thank you.
And once again, we declare, Father, the eternal truth, that thine is the kingdom. The power and the glory forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.